Blog Talk Radio.
Visitors, if we have visitors with us, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Praise be to Allah, guardian, evolver, cherisher, and sustainer of all the worlds. There is nothing worthy of worship except Him alone. And Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. In the Quran, the holy book of the Muslims, Allah the Most High says, من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله Speaking of those who live for the pleasure of the Almighty, Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَءُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ Of the people, of humanity, you will find among the people of the world, all of them taken collectively, you will find those who sell their own souls, seeking the pleasure of Almighty God. And Almighty God is gentle and kind to His servants. This is from the Quran. We have heard I'm sure that many of you have heard of the individual who sold his soul to the devil. And actually that idea is taken from the original idea, that is to sell one's soul for the pleasure of God. In another place in the Quran, Allah the Most High has said that He has bought or purchased from the believers their souls. Their souls. This is very key terminology or very key expression for understanding exactly what is required of the person, the individual person, if the individual person hope to have a pleasant, good life. We have to be prepared to give our whole life to the pleasure of Almighty God. If we are not prepared to go to that extent, then we are not really going to be completely free of burden, misery, unhappiness. We can expect unhappiness, we can expect misery if we are not prepared to give our whole life to the pleasure of Almighty God. That area that you reserve is the area that's going to get you in trouble. You have to be prepared to give your whole self, your whole soul, your whole life to the pleasure of Almighty God. It's a big thing. It's no easy thing. It's a big thing. It's easy only on those who seek it, who love it, who prefer the pleasure of Allah, the pleasure of Almighty, of the Almighty, to the pleasures that this material or this physical world offer them. And in another place, the Almighty says, there are among men those who say, O God, give us of this world. And in the next, they have nothing. And there are those who say, O God, give us of this world and of the next. And he gives them of this world and of the next. You see? So it's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of attitude. What attitude we take if we are selfish, impatient, inconsiderate of what is right, of what is best, then we can expect plenty of trouble. But if we are really sincere in our heart, then our heart is the key factor for opening the way to us to that good life, the good life. The good life is the life that we live respecting what the Almighty wants. That's very broad, and it's significant. Many of us think that to worship God is a personal matter. There's no way to worship God and not be involved in a matter bigger than your person. It's impossible. It is that concept and that concept alone that ties everything worthwhile together. So that's what the meaning is for us. The meaning is coming into God's way. That's why we have to worship him and have to see him first and foremost. We have to come into his way. And when we come into his way, we have the best possible life. In all respects, there are those who ask, O God, O Lord, give us of this world. And in the hereafter, they have no assurance. So many of us want to know, how can I get more money? How can I get a better car? How can I pay my rent? Well, those are good questions to ask, but from the right position. From the right position. Be prepared to make concessions, to wait, to make sacrifices, to do whatever you must to stay within the discipline that God requires of you. Because if we don't take that attitude, then our appetites are going to eventually destroy us. We'll be eventually destroyed by our appetites. And we're going to come back to that. But we want to make a few comments on the article that appeared in the paper today in the Oakland Tribune. And it begins on the first page. So a lot of people know we're here now. Yeah. This is Oakland Tribune today, Sunday. And down here you see it says Muslim leader moves to Oakland. I hope one day it'll read Muslim leader moves Oakland to God. That takes a whole lot of help, won't it? That's right. So get busy.
Right.
This article is by Gerald Davis, Tribune writer. Tribune staff writer, Gerald Davis, a young man. I met him, and right away I was impressed. Didn't look like any foolishness was in him. And I just trusted him. So when we got through with the interview, that was about 3 hours and a half. 3 hour and a half interview. Now, we wasn't rushing, you know. He was taking his time to ask his questions and to make comments and to seek more information out of my reply to him. And I took my time, too. So we didn't rush. We took our time, but still we were there for 3 hours and a half. And then he came again the next day, wasn't it? And he said, I just need about 5 minutes to clean up some areas. I have some questions. And he stayed for another hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. So in all in total, we got about a five-hour interview. Yeah, almost. That's right. Well, I just want to say that that man didn't let down my expectations. I thought the young man was very intelligent. I thought he was very sincere. And I told him, you just feel free to work with the article. You're a journalist. Handle it like you want to. That's what I told him. Because I wanted to see what he wanted to do. What he and his paper wanted to do. And they showed me they wanted to do a good job. And they did a good job. Very excellent job. You know, this paper has an Bilalian editor, too. I think he's their first, isn't he? Their first Bilalian editor? Yeah. And he got the paper when the paper was in a bad financial situation. And he introduced new programs, new methods, and brought the paper out of this crisis, I'm told. Now, there's a couple of things in here that I'd like to comment on. All of it's good. All of it's very good. But what I liked best was how he ended the article. Let's see, can I go there? They didn't tell that I was locked up, too. You know, that Muhammad Ali was locked up. I was locked up, too. And I stayed in jail longer than Muhammad Ali. He didn't stay in jail no time. I stayed in jail long enough to miss Mama. Now, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he led us all. He stayed in jail a long time. He and a few others. My brother Emmanuel, the oldest brother, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and a few others. They got 5 years sentence. That's right. I received a 3-year sentence and was given parole after 15 months. All total, I did about, I think, 17 months, something like that, 18 months in lockup. And really didn't have to do it. Just my stubbornness. I could have worked in the hospital. Didn't have to go to war. They told me you can go to Elgin. State hospital in Chicago. You don't even have to leave city. I said, no. I can't accept that. They said, all right, Sheriff. We're finished with him. Take him on. Right on my birthday, too, October 30th, they locked me up. Well, I began my sentence on October 30th. I guess they wanted me to remember what it was for. See, because on your birthday, you're supposed to register. And I didn't do that. On my 18th birthday, I was supposed to register, you know, for Selective Service. And following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, like the other followers did, I didn't do that. The other men did, I didn't do that. So they got me. He ended the article on this note. The clock can never be turned back that far again. That's all right with me. That man is all right. He knows how to write. I don't know if we'll need a blackboard, but I like to have a blackboard when I'm here. Or a whiteboard and black chalk. It doesn't make sense. We have now close to 20 to 120. And I hope that all of you will do your best to be here on time. That way we all can get out earlier, I think. But if I see people straggling in at 2 o'clock, that makes me feel like going on saying, see, I'm thinking about them. They just came in, you see. And I'm not going to be doing that. I'm not going to do that. Because for the benefit of everybody, we should try to get here on time. And that'll make us get out early. I'm sure that'll help. I'm working on it hard, but that'll sure help if you come in on time. Now, in devoting this time this afternoon to the study of the word Muslim, and I say study because if you are inquiring into something or discussing it from knowledgeable sources, it's a study. And really, the Muslims in the days of Prophet Muhammad, and I guess it was true for all the prophets, Jesus Christ too, peace be on them, they called this kind of meetings that we're having here now, they called it Ta'lim. And ta'lim means study. You're studying, you're learning. Someone is teaching and you are learning. And the teacher himself is involved in the learning. Okay. But actually, when someone teaches, he should himself be trying to improve his own vision and understanding. He shouldn't be just trying to impress somebody. But he should be trying to reach the mark as accurately as possible. And if he does that, and the people participate, then even the teacher is learning. You see? Yes. So that's why I used to call my talks conversations. Some of you heard me say that. I said, well, I'm going to have a conversation with you. Because it's an exchange, you know. And we hope to have at the end time for questions. We'll accept a few questions. Don't think everybody can get in and ask questions. We can't. We can only take a few questions, and the next time we try to get more in. But every meeting, we hope to accept a few questions. We want to pay attention to both the course that is rough, unfinished, and the sign, sense of the meaning of this word, Muslim. There are many Muslims, I believe, that don't really know what Muslim means. I don't mean here, I mean everywhere, throughout the world. I believe there are many Muslims that don't actually know what the word Muslim means. They have a light surface grasp of the word, but to really know exactly, to really have the word, the meaning, the rich meaning of the word, I doubt it. So let us. Can I take this mic off so I can? Because I would like to keep the voice at the same level, so I will walk with it here. I'm going to put the word on the board, Muslim. Let's see, can I make it bigger so we can see it? Muslim. This is Muslim. The word Muslim. And in English, it's spelled as it is in the article, by Mr. Gerald Davis.
Muslim.
Can you hear me okay now?
Yes, sir.
Good. It picks up very good. Good. All right. The understanding now that I'm approaching comes with the term al-awwal and another term, the one that contrasts with that term, al-akhir. Al-awwal and al-akhir. These are two Arabic terms. So I'll put them on the board. Al-awwal. And the other term is al-akhir. Al-akhir. Now these two terms are translated the beginning and the end, the immediate, the latter, now, hereafter. We can sense perhaps now a direction in the language pointing us to something, because I'm connecting these words, dealing with these words in relationship with this word Muslim. Muslim. Allah says in the Quran that He has created us to grow. That's one of the necessities of the creation, that it grow, that it doesn't remain stagnant or static, that it grow. When we hear the words first, last, intermediate, advanced, or intermediate, end, or latter, faith, right away, movement comes to mind. Movement comes to mind that has beginning point and a concluding phase, or concluding stage. You see, movement comes to mind, that we grow. And in another place in the Quran, Allah Most High says, man can have only what he strives for, can have only what he strives for. And his striving will soon be seen. Efforts are rewarded by Allah. Efforts are rewarded by Allah. If you make the effort, you're going to get some result. You see? All right. What I am suggesting here
I say suggesting because I have followers here and I have friends here. And I might even have an enemy here. So I'm suggesting to those who are with me in this community, I'm sharing with you. To the others, I'm suggesting, and you make your own conclusions. You take it or leave it, as the old man used to say. I'm suggesting that these two terms, while bringing to our mind the temporary benefit of this physical world to the human life, the human spiritual life, it is also directed at something else. And that is the first stage development in this life. And a final development in this life that represents our ticket into what is the akhir proper, the real eternal life. All right. Because we know that this world has been described or spoken of as illusion. Illusion. Allah said in the Quran that this world is illusion. It ain't what it appears to be. And that's true. That's true in every meaningful way. Every intelligent way is true. It's not what it appears to be. The beginning and the end stage. Al-awwal, al-awwal, wal-akhir. Now look. See, we like to point out things as we go that are in any way touching upon what we are doing or talking about. You see? Al-awwal. You heard of the owl? The wise old owl? You know, he is a creature that sees in the dark. But his eyes are bad, not too good for the daytime, right? But he has very good vision. He's a wise old owl, he's very good. He sees very well at night. And this world is the same way. The vision of people who see nothing but these perishable, immediate goals is like someone only seeing in the dark. Can't see in the light. In the light of true reality, they can't see. They're not even scientific. If they were scientific, they wouldn't place so much importance on the perishable things. They would place more importance on a strategy to take them through. Right? Yes. So I'm suggesting that these two terms are referring to here and hereafter, and also to that growth process that we understand as the behavioral and intellectual development of the creature. When we talk about behavior, we're talking about something that is determined by the nature. Something that the nature has determined. The physical life and its nature. When we talk about the intellect, we're talking about something that has come out of that and has gotten vision, has gotten focus on that, that enables it to conduct itself better. So here is learning and life now operating to improve behavior. Address a discipline, a condition, a state, attitude, Muslim behavioral life has its origin in life, in natural life. Not only is its origin in natural life, it is expressly the excellence of the natural life. Because all of our behavior, it's tied to nature. Even that behavior that disobeys nature, it's tied to nature. It wouldn't be possible without the nature. Muslim intellectual life is a continuation in the natural process, not out of the natural process, a continuation of that natural process, Muslim intellectual life. And I have associated this intellectual life now with al-akhir, al-awwal for the behavioral life, al-akhir for the intellectual life. In the scriptures, it says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. We think it means more cars. It means more growth. You must bear fruit. Isn't that another saying of the book? I'm talking about the Western book. You must bear fruit. That's the condition. Another place, feed my lambs. Is that right? Feed my lambs. I come that you will have life and have it more abundantly. What am I saying this for? I'm saying this to show you that the Quran and the Bible are saying the same essential thing. But one book has been twisted, altered, to on the surface serve other ends, contrary to what God intended. Whereas the Quran is a corrected book, pure and straight, upright, honest, just, perfect, no deception in it at all. It is a book without deception. Since by intellectual we mean not the ordinary meaning, because when we say intellectual we mean smart. We mean fiqh, So let's put this word. What is this word? What is fiqh? Translations for fiqh is jurisprudence, law, jurisprudence. But that's not the meaning that I'm referring to now. I'm referring to the first meaning of this word, fiqh. The scholars in Sharia, or law, they acknowledge that the meaning of fiqh today is not what it meant in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It now applies to the accumulation of discussion, legal discussion, by the jurish, etc. So it refers to that. But originally, what did it mean? Understanding. It means understanding. Correct understanding is fiqh. Correct understanding, the right understanding, is fiqh. And there's fiqh for everything in the Qur'an. There's fiqh not only for the Qur'an, there's fiqh for the sunnah. There's fiqh for everything. You see? So this is what we're talking about. And it fits in with the major movement of Scripture. How do we know? Because the hunger in the people of Scripture, from book to book, cover to cover, is the hunger for understanding. The word implies scientific reality. Scientific reality. And it's a matter of history. Historical reports of history. That this religion, as taught by Prophet Muhammad, awakened the sciences and brought back higher learning to the dark world, to the world at that time, and made possible the rejuvenation of the higher sciences that spread from Arabia into Spain and to other parts of the world at that time, and finally was taken over, that scientific inquiry, by the Western world. Many of the Western historians and scholars, they point to the fact that the Renaissance of the West was sparked by the rising of the Ummah, the community under Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. Muslim, on the first level, is identified in natural, instinctive behavior. In the natural field, non-biological. We see the laws of physics, the laws of physics operating. Matter and its properties, nature and her features, the natural phenomena. Is that Muslim? Yes. Yes. According to our holy book, that itself is Muslim. So there's Muslim on that level. And in the biological world, I repeat, the life is governed by instinct. Is that Muslim? Yes. According to our holy book, that's Muslim. Then isn't it, is there anything that's not Muslim? Yes. Satan. The devil. The Satan. He's not Muslim. But everything that is in the order and the nature that God created is Muslim. On the second level, Muslim is identified in the tendency to establish moral preferences. Now here we have moved out of the physical, purely physical life into a biological life, instinct, that's governed by instinct, now into human life, and we are talking about moral preference, moral conscience, and moral preferences. This sense, moral sense, it's no stranger to nature, to the natural world. It is just an expression on a human level. Yes, that's very nice. That's professional. So we come into a moral mind, a moral conscience, and we sense an urge, an urgency. To establish what is right from what is wrong. To live by moral principle. This urge, too, comes out of nature. It is this law progressing with the evolution of the matter. The matter in its physical state, the matter in its biological state, the matter in its rational state, or in its human form. Progressing, progressing. This moral life is natural, inherent, implicit in the natural life of the human being, which is of the universal order of matter and life. It makes me feel much more comfortable following a discipline in religion that I know have a real base in the universal scheme of reality. It makes me feel much better. I don't know about the rest of you Muslims, but we feel much better. Now, let us go again, look at the word Muslim, and see
What level are we on? Are we Muslims in the first sense, in the second sense, or in the third sense? If you respect no discipline, if you have no moral conscience, but you have no rebellious tendencies either, you just don't care. You just carefree. You just...
Bismillah, assalamu alaikum. As you know, these recordings were originally made from cassettes. So this is likely the point at which the 90-minute cassette is changing over. So we do know that the audio continues further along. So hang in there. Assalamu alaikum.
Second sense or in the third sense? If you respect no discipline, if you have no moral conscience, but you have no rebellious tendencies either, you just don't care. You just carefree. You just loose and free. Then perhaps if there's no intent on your part to be wrong, perhaps you are a Muslim in the sense that the stone the little boy throws a Muslim. Or any other inanimate thing is a Muslim. You see? Now, if you are on a second level now and you find yourself following intelligent patterns of behavior, but you're not doing it out of any respect for a moral code. You have no moral code. You're not a moralist. You're not even concerned with morals as such. But you just find yourself following intelligent patterns of behavior. And if someone asks you why you behave that way, you're thrown off your feet. So they didn't tell them why. Then you perhaps are a Muslim on the second level. You're a Muslim like the bird, like the rat, like the lion, like the bear. Like those things, you see? You are instinctively a Muslim. Well, you are not yet a human. Ain't no human on those first two levels. I don't mean to be funny up here. But some of our conditions It's funny. You know, and I think I'm seeing people. While I'm talking, I see people. I've met people who are on these levels. So, you know, though we're Muslim, we're not yet a human. Now, we don't just want to be Muslim. The identity of us is people, human beings. We want to be human. We don't want the Muslim of the planet, the Muslim of the sun, the Muslim of a stone, the Muslim of a river. We don't want the Muslim of a snake, or the Muslim of a bear, or a rabbit, or a bird. We want the Muslim of a man. So that's the third level. Prophet Muhammad is a Muslim on the third level. Abraham, a Muslim on the third level. God's great prophets are Muslims on the third level. And their followers are people of the third level. Yes. Now some people have a sense of what is morally right and wrong, and they follow the spirit of truth, of righteousness, in accord with what they sense to be right. Is that right? Now, they don't have to be brilliant. They don't have to be Einstein. They don't have to be genius. They don't have to be intellectual. They are Muslim on the human level. But they are grave on the human level. Yes. We are consciously Muslims because of moral motivation and perhaps moral motivation only. But there comes a time when the man becomes a Muslim because of intellectual motivation and moral motivation. And when he becomes a Muslim because of intellectual and moral motivation, he's qualified to be Imam. Qualified then to lead Muslims. Qualified to be Muallim. The teacher. Yes. Oh. Buddy. You know how I like it. Sure you know by now. You know my favorite food. So, there are those who say this old new patriotic nigga, WD, he ain't no Muslim. Maybe not on your level. I'm no physicalized Muslim. You can bet that. I'm proud to say I'm not that. I'm a Muslim on the proper level. I'm a moral Muslim. And I'm a rational Muslim. And I'm happy with this life. I wouldn't give it up for nothing. I've long ago sold my soul to Allah. I don't want it back. I pray that he never allow me to get it back. I don't want it back. You know, we used to say that in the early days. And then as we got into the material thing, we got drunk. Instead of becoming wiser so we can handle the material challenge, we got drunk in the material thing. And now many of us don't even understand what we used to say. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Surely my prayers, my sacrifice, my life and my death are for Allah, all for Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Didn't we used to say that? We used to begin every meeting with that. We would come to the meeting, and just like we started here today, we would stand up behind the minister, and everybody, men, women, and children, would hold a hand like this. And we would say, surely I've turned myself to thee, O Allah, trying. We didn't say being. Trying to be upright to him who originated the heavens and the earth. It didn't say to Farad Muhammad. We said to him who originated the heavens and the earth. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that Farad didn't originate the heavens and the earth. But we used to pray to him who originated the heavens and the earth. And I'm not of those who mix up gods with God. And I'm not of the polytheists. Didn't we pray that? And we finally got to that place where we say, surely my life and my death and my sacrifices are all for Allah, the Lord of all the world. That's what we used to say. That's the pure prayer of the Muslim. Now we can say it and really be at ease, knowing that we are in conformance, we are conforming to that prayer. In our thinking, in our behavior, we are trying to conform to that. In our thinking, we are conforming to it, if you have accepted what I represent. And we are trying to get our behavior to conform to it. Oh, yes. This time moves. This term Muslim suggests then a growth and a line of growth. Not just a growth, but that growth follows a direction. It follows an upgrade direction. You must upgrade the quality of that term to reach your human excellence, your human fulfillment. You are not your complete self until you move up to the third level and stand upon both feet. The feet of moral excellence and the feet of rational excellence. Right? Yes. This is the Muslim man. And the woman too. It's not my fault I have to use man. Talking about the woman too. Because in our religion, intellectual, which is the highest point in the development of man, is intellectual. But the condition for intellectual fulfillment is moral excellence. I don't care what genius you can call, name to me, just call off some genius. If he didn't come by the way of moral excellence, he's not a genius, he's a fool. That's right. We can just point to so many cases in history to show you that's so, the fact, to prove to you that fact. Yes. Look at Hitler. They say he was a genius. But he didn't have the moral base. So the man's history spells out F-O-O-L. Right? Yes. And we can name them, a lot of them. I know one right now, too far away. All right. Yeah. Call himself Mr. Glib Tongue. Articulate and refined. But he doesn't have the moral base. So what he's doing spells F-O-O-L. And I didn't name him because really he has more than one name.
Thank you.